from KQED.
From Sonoma State University in Rohnert Park, I'm Michael Krasny, and this is KQED Public Radio. The number of Sonoma County wineries has more than doubled since the year 2005, and the industry remains the backbone of the region's economy. But some neighborhood groups say escalating winery tourism from tasting rooms and events brings unwanted traffic and noise and threatens their rural quality of life. In response, county supervisors and planning officials are working to establish new guidelines for winery events. We'll talk with industry experts, community activists, and local officials about the high stakes of winery development in Sonoma County. Forum is next, right after this. Good morning. We are live from Sonoma State University. I'm Michael Krasny, and we have a live studio audience with us. Thank you all. We are pleased to be here and pleased to have this raucous but enthusiastic audience. In a 2015 survey of residents here in Sonoma, and actually also in Napa and Lake Counties, by the Wine Business Institute of Sonoma State University, 88% of respondents said wineries have either a very positive or positive impact on the quality of life in their county. But 84% felt that the wine businesses also contribute at least some to increasing traffic and congestion, and that's no big surprise. The number of wineries has more than doubled in the last decade. The number of neighborhood complaints over impacts of events is also on the rise, with some residents objecting to congestion, noise, and unruly crowds. We'll discuss how much winery development is too much and what kind of new regulations, if any, are needed to protect Sonoma's rural character. And to follow along with today's conversation on Twitter, use the hashtag KQEDSSU. Let me tell you who is joining us for the hour. We want to welcome first James Gore, who's a member of the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors. He represents the 4th District, which runs from northern Santa Rosa to the Mendocino County line. Welcome, Supervisor Gore.
Thank you, Michael. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you with us. Also glad to have Judith Olney with us, who co-chairs the Preserve Rural Sonoma. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And also welcome Corey Beck, who is president of the Francis Ford Coppola Winery, former board president for the Sonoma County Vintners. Good to have you all here.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you all for being with us. And Corey Beck, let me begin with you, and let's begin by talking about the fact that these sites are expanding, wineries are doubling, as we said, events, that means, are also expanding and increasing in number, and the more events, the more complaints. With all the concern about traffic, and I ought to mention noise, and with what I would characterize as a growing backlash and a good deal of things going at the boiling point, concern over development and rural character, how do we define an event? Let's get at that. How does the wine industry define an event?
Yeah, that's a great question. So events for us, I mean, we look at things like doing, you know, how do we, winery activities with direct sales, okay? And direct sales would be having winemaker dinners, wine club pickups. We would then also look at public sales, which would be tasting rooms. And then we would look at the third one would be trade events, which would be working with our wholesalers when we go through the three-tier system and having them with events at the winery.
It's a key marketing tool. It's a revenue source. You also have these barrel tasting kinds of things, but you also have some bad actors. I mean, don't you need tighter controls here and stricter limits and maybe the wine industry didn't, well, to police itself?
Yeah, we are. And we are looking at policing our own as well. I think that any time that you have an expansion like we have, and let's not forget, I mean, the wine industry and the wineries that are there, I mean, we have helped preserve ag land over the course of the years. And so, you know, back in, you know, 1946, it was 22,000 acres of prunes and 22,000 acres of grapes. Today, we have 60,000 acres of grapes, which represents 6% of the county, and we have 24 acres of prunes. So my feeling is if there wasn't the grape industry that had the secondary processing, which comes from wineries, those land, that land and that ag land could look like what happened to Santa Clara Valley and with, you know, in the 50s. So now we know that as, you know, Silicon Valley. So the wineries have done such an amazing job of keeping ag land, ag land.
Although when you make the analogy to Santa Clara, I've had a new word introduced to my lexicon, napapization. I mean, there is concern that Sonoma is going in that direction, and certainly mean no umbrage or insult to Napa, but going in the direction, in other words, of too much.
So for us to come together as a group with the with our neighbors, I mean, I look at us as neighbors as well. And this is not a wine industry against the community. We all are neighbors. And so the high areas of concentration that we're talking about are near and dear to our heart. And so, yeah, we are going to work on fixing these areas, limiting the events, even hiring somebody on our own dollar to manage and to be able to look at these events and making sure that the wineries are in compliance with their use permits.
Of course, all depends on location, I realize. And some of these wineries, we'll talk with Judith Olney about this and the Supervisor Gore as well, but some of these wineries are in tough areas. You know, have to get ambulances through and all of that sort of thing, back roads. And there's been some concern about the lack of responsiveness of the wine industry to this.
Yeah, and so that's where we are here today. And so we are committed to making this work, because I'll say this again, we are neighbors as well. And so we want to do the right thing for the land and for our community. And
you
so
want to do the right thing for the land. Can I ask you about irrigation as opposed to what they call dry farming? I mean, how committed are you? Is the wine industry now to what is, I know some people don't like the term, but characterized under the umbrella of dry farming?
Yeah, so we do have a percentage of our vineyards in Sonoma County that are dry farmed. And the wonderful thing about technology is that we now are using less water in our vineyards than we did in the 1970s through drip irrigation, through probes that actually go down and measure soil moisture so that we can give the water vine when it's asking, or excuse me, give the vine water when it's asking for water, and not just basically flood irrigating. So we have made a lot of improvements to our technology in terms of what we're doing for vineyards and water.
And what about the groundwater?
The groundwater in terms of?
In terms of having those same kind of cautionary measures with technology or whatever is necessary.
Yeah, so we do. And so I can go back through with our wineries, for example, and using through groundwater and wells, we are looking at ways to ultraviolet cleaning with tanks, and so that we don't have to use water for that. We at the winery at Copla have implemented a MBR plant, which processes all of our waste water so that we then can make it potable, and that gets put back onto the vineyard so we don't have to use water from our wells.
Judith Olney, let me go to you. And again, we've been talking to Corey Beck, who's president of the Francis Ford Coppola Winery and former board president for the Sonoma County Vintners. And Judith Olney co-chairs the Preserve Rural Sonoma. I know that you've been, toiling in the vineyards here. I mean, trying to not only get a definition on events, but feeling that these events are really, is it too strong a word to say, destroying the rural character of Sonoma?
I think that what the community groups are saying is that the wine industry is definitely the backbone of our tourist economy. But if we don't address the impacts from the number, the scale, and the intensity of these event centers that are being put on our rural, windy, one-lane roads, and if we don't address the real impacts from the impacts of the public cost to our finite resources, that we're going to break the backbone of our community. And left unchecked, we're concerned that we'll degrade the tourist experience.
And you say there is a right to farm, but not a right to
party.
A right to party, right, or to entertain and so forth. So what kind of constraints are you talking about that you'd like to see in place?
What we're really talking about are some very simple standards that ensure that a parcel is large enough so that setbacks can address the impacts from noise and from parking lot visual disturbance. We want to make sure that event facilities are located on roads that are wide enough so that emergency vehicles can get access. And we want to address some of the issues around destructive competition, the fact that more and more wineries, more and more event centers, more and more tasting rooms may not be sustainable in a county where what the tourists really crave is this authentic rural character. I mean, there's a reason why Fodor's named Sonoma County as the top wine destination right after Tuscany. and it's because we were able to gain from what Napa County lost by its overdevelopment. We need some protections, some simple standards, so that we can focus on solid economic principles and protect the rural character that the tourists crave.
Can you give us some specific examples of what's eroding or corroding what you describe as a rural character?
Yes. You know, we look at traffic and noise as an issue. And I have to say that I live on a very windy road with one lane segments, lots of blind curves and hills. And many of us, when we leave our homes, we ask ourselves the question, will we survive the drive? And this isn't a joking matter. We have one Dry Creek neighbor who's dead. I have two neighbors who are sporting neck braces from being driven off the road. These are very serious concerns about road safety. We also are having to address the fact that in our coastal hills, we have the issue of chainsaw vine. We're clear-cutting our redwood trees. We're removing oak forests that are extremely important to hold the water and the soils and to protect the quality of our streams and groundwater. Our historic buildings are being replaced by urban-scale developments. Water wars are brewing. In California, he with the largest pump gets all the water. Many of our neighbors' water wells are going dry. Chemicals and nitrates are perking into our water supplies, and childhood cancer rates are trending upward. We believe these are all issues that require some solid planning. We need the community to come together and to come up with solutions to these problems before the solutions become very costly.
But I'm sure you're well aware of the fact that particularly the small and remote wineries are having more and more problems because of distribution and because of consolidation. And so they claim that, for example, a lot of these events are the only way that they can sell wine now and keep a pace.
No, that's very true. But Silicon Valley, which is the lender to the wine industry, made a finding that the greatest obstacle to tasting room profitability is more and more competition for more and more tasting rooms. What we're really concerned about, and we're wondering why the restaurants and the other winery owners are not as concerned as we are about this destructive competition.
Let me, and forgive me for interrupting there, but are you saying that the wine industry has been virtually unresponsive to what you have put forward here this morning?
There are many good actors in the wine industry. There are many that are violating their permits. We are in a situation where only a third of our use permit holders have permits that specify the rights to hold events. So we're having to deal with a significant number of unpermitted events and impacts that were not anticipated and not studied in our general plan and in our environmental documents. Now, all we're saying is that every event that's held and especially food service, it should be covered under a permit, and the studies should be done to mitigate the impacts on noise, traffic, water disposal, septic disposal. You know, we can't just rename a dinner dance an after-hours business meeting and pretend that the impacts from noise and road safety go away. This really doesn't pass the red face test.
Well, I'm inclined now to bring the supervisor into the discussion, and let me just say by way of introduction that James Gore, who's a member of the supervisors, Board of Supervisors, Sonoma County, you can change my language here if I'm misrepresenting you, Judy. But the fact of the matter is that your group and other groups have said that the supervisors are, I don't know how to put this euphemistically, sort of willing to go along with the wine industry almost under any circumstances. Would that be fair characterization?
Well, let's just say that in the last 5 years, we've approved 90 use permits, and only two of the most egregious projects were denied. So we're concerned that projects are being approved in inappropriate locations, on one-lane roads, on very, very small parcels, such as three-acre parcels, where the parking lots and event facilities are only 100 feet from the neighbor's bedroom. Again, neighbors' water wells are going dry. I believe that the supervisors really need to step up, and we need to come up with some reasonable standards that actually address these impacts before we destroy our tourist economy.
Let me go to Supervisor Gore. And again, James Gore is a member of the Board of Supervisors for Sonoma County and represents the 4th District, which runs from northern Santa Rosa to the Mendocino County line. I was reading an article, an opinion piece by Ernie Carpenter, I believe a former colleague of yours, a Sonoma former county, Sonoma County supervisor, who had a piece in the Press Democrat. And essentially he said big wine is like big oil, and it's too big not to have the kind of, how shall I put this, constraints on it that it needs. That, in other words, your campaign, other supervisors' campaigns are being funded by the wine industry. You're beholden to them, and you do what they do. Well, you do what they ask. You're beholden to their bidding. That's pretty much the pith of his article.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate being here, Judith, Corey, everybody. With respect to your last question, I would start by saying that's absolute crap. And, you know, personally, I was born and raised in Dry Creek Valley. I have an opportunity to represent it now. This is an area of high concentration. Definitely. Look at the fact that, you know, when I left Dry Creek Valley for college, there was about 20 wineries, and there's 78 now. So you can't deny the fact that there is cumulative impact, that really does create an impact on neighbors and on others and on competition and other things like that. You know, while I completely disagree with words like chainsaw viticulture and things that go for headlines, the one thing I completely agree with is that the supervisors have to step up. I was elected a year and a half ago. So there's been really, I would say, three wineries that have gone through the process, only one in Dry Creek, and it just passed yesterday, and there's one that was denied under my view, my purview. You know, if I look at this chart and I see wineries dramatically increasing the number of permits per year that are done, what I can see is that 1980 to 1999 to 2000, we have about 29. Then we have 50 over the last 15 years. The question that we have to ask ourselves as wineries and vintners, as local public servants who are responsible community members, not beholden to anybody, and as community other neighbors, is what's the planning process? You know, I'll be honest with you, Michael, it all comes down to we're out of the recession, right? This is not just wineries. This is vacation rental by owners in Sonoma County. This is housing costs and lack of affordable housing stock. This is the fact that we're coming out, Sonoma County's on fire, 3% unemployment, businesses. We turn away businesses where other counties have to create tax incentives to get them there.
You also have an affordable housing crisis that has reached a proportion nobody
absolutely
would have anticipated.
And so the question all of our community members are asking, and me personally, is what's this place going to look like not just in 50 years, but in 10 to 12 years?
So let's talk about the process, because you've got a task force, you've got supposedly something moving toward the Board of Supervisors this mm-hmm. July. Things are in the works, are they not?
Once again, how do you make good policy, right? Because there's one way that you can go, and you can take almost the entire lump of what are winery regulations and current policies that are managed through our planning department. And I'll be very honest, the way that it's currently set up, we've reached a level where supervisors haven't voted on this really ever other than the general plan or created an ordinance. So what it's done is it's put the onus back on planning commissioners that have de facto created this lump of differing policies and regulations that, as from my point as a policymaker, put applicants against proponents and appellants. And the reason it does so is that there's not always clear guidelines. And clear guidelines are helpful for everybody. Somebody who wants to put in a winery, purchase a property, a neighbor who has expectations and has a right to live in peace, too.
What about the green painting? I mean, there's been a lot of accusations that all the talk about sustainability, ag washing, whatever you want to call it, is rhetorical and is not necessarily seeing itself being brought into action and fruition?
You know, my dad was a vineyard manager, right? And then I've also worked on, you know, he was a guy who planted vineyards in Sonoma County in the 70s and 80s. And then I also, as a part of a presidential appointee in the Obama administration, I ran conservation programs around the country. If anybody thinks that there's greenwashing go on, they should come out with myself and some other folks and look at some really good vineyards. However, with respect to wineries, vineyards, other things, are there people who are bad actors? Heck yeah. And do we need to go after that? Absolutely.
And you also have, with more crowding and more vineyards and more wineries generally, you have more environmental challenges. I mean, there's no way of getting around that. I think you would concede that, wouldn't you, all of you? Let me go. Yeah. I mean, and some of those challenges, I mean, for example, loss of topsoil, use of fertilizers, heavy with chemicals, running off into water that can actually get into, I mentioned the groundwater to you and before, Corey Beck, and yet you feel probably overregulated in some ways, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that with our industry, if you look at how we bring our products to market is challenging, right? You have, first of all, you have high taxes, and then you start looking at the three-tier system, which is also direct shipping laws and certain things. So it can be cumbersome. I mean, I think for us, I know at the winery, we are sustainable. Our winery is certified sustainable. And I know that with the wine growers making the pledge by 2019 for every vineyard in Sonoma County to be certified sustainable is a huge, huge deal for our county. And it, we, I look at this as the community coming together so that we can set, and I want to be the leader for other counties, other wine industries on what is right and doing the right thing for the environment, the community, and to be able to survive.
Well, Judith Olney, what's the impact of the neighborhoods? I mean, can you give us a kind of a sketch here of what we're talking about here and the rural areas especially?
No, I think that we need to reframe the issue. We need to look at that all of us are being impacted and that we as a community need to come back together. You know, often the community members are posed as the problem, but maybe we should look at us as the early warning system. We're telling you that we're the ones that live on the land. We're the ones that are farming the grapes. We're seeing these problems of intensity, scale, and over-concentration that ultimately may degrade the Sonoma County brand and ultimately may result in our tourists leaving and going to more charming and serene locations.
And we're coming up on a break, but Supervisor Gore, can you give this audience your, I mean, you sound like a man of your word, that things will take place here?
Well, I sat with Sonoma County Tourism recently, and this is a great point to in agreement with Judith is, and with Corey as well, is that to me the future of tourism in Sonoma County is inreach, it's not outreach. It's not just going out and getting in more magazines, it's making sure that the foundation that we're building, winery businesses, restaurants, or other things, fit community rather than vice versa.
I do have to go to a break. Let me invite listeners to join us. In fact, we'd like to invite questions from you, the audience, of course, but if you have a question for our panel, simply raise your hand if you're in the audience. Someone will come by to get it. You can also tweet us at KQED Forum or post comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, or you can call us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. We'll continue our conversation about how best to manage winery development in Sonoma County. Take your questions and comments after a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Forum. We are here at Sonoma State University with a live studio audience. And again, we're discussing how much winery development is too much and what kind of regulation, if any, might be needed. To follow along with today's conversation on Twitter, use the hashtag KQEDSSU. We're joined for the hour by Supervisor James Gore, who represents Sonoma County's 4th District, Corey Beck, who is president of Francis Ford Coppola Winery, and Judith Olney, who co-chairs Preserve Rural Sonoma. We also spoke with Vicki Farrow, who is here with us today from Amisto Vineyards. And Vicki, we're going to go to you now and actually find out, I guess this is a pretty small winery you have here. How small is it?
It's a micro winery. I think in the wine business, anything under 50,000 cases is considered to be small, and I make 2,500, so we're really small.
Well, tell us how, I mean, because I've already alluded to this, but how much more difficult and trying, from your perspective, frustrating the competition has become, and especially distribution, yeah.
Well, we don't distribute, okay? Yeah. There's no way that we could even get the attention of a distributor.
You can't even get on the radar screen.
Can't even get on the radar screen, yeah. No. So we sell 100% direct-to-consumer. So I only sell wine if somebody drives down my driveway through my 28 acres of vineyards, past my house. By the way, I'm a neighbor. I live on the land myself. I only sell wine if they come to see me. And I need to be able to do all the things Corey mentioned. I need to have tasting. I need to have wine and food pairing. I need to have pickup parties. I need to have winemaker dinners to get people to come and to get people to come back.
But you don't do weddings.
I do not do weddings.
Or bar mitzvahs.
I do not do bar mitzvahs.
So tell us what you would like. I mean, you see the whole picture here, and it's been hurting you in terms of your business. What would you like, and particularly the supervisors, to be most responsive to as far as your needs?
I think we do need definitions. I totally agree. I think everyone on the stage agrees with that. New wineries need to know what to expect, and neighbors need to know what to expect. And the process takes too long, and it's way too expensive. It's not fair to anybody. So I think we do need that. I think we need to preserve agriculture, not rural character, by the way. You can get rural character in Nebraska, okay? What we have here is agriculture, and what people come for is not just to look at vines. If they wanted to see vines, they could go to Modesto. They come here to taste wine and to come to wineries and to have that wine country experience. We do need to preserve that. And
well, if you want to preserve agriculture, can I get you to say something on the record about the big industrial agriculture that has made its way into Sonoma and probably everywhere else in Northern California?
Where I sit, I don't see big industrial agriculture. I'm in Dry Creek Valley, so maybe I'm missing the point. But most of the wineries near me are very small, like me, maybe under 10,000 cases.
Well, I think Carrie Fugit is with us as well. Let me ask to go to her. She's in the audience here. She is executive director of Sonoma County Conservation Action. You're concerned about big ag?
Yes, and I speak for our membership. We've been active in Sonoma County since 1991, representing the environmental voice and working to improve the quality of life for our residents in Sonoma County. And we are concerned. We are worried about the over-concentration of wineries. We agree that agriculture has helped protect thousands of acres of open space, and we're very thankful for that. But we believe that agricultural land should remain agricultural lands, and we see this as a shift towards industrialization, where processing is no longer necessarily in proportion with the land use, and we're promoting a brand of sustainability, but not necessarily backing that up with our practices. There are projects being proposed that are on small county lanes next to very popular bicycle paths that will be actually importing grapes from other regions. And this is a problem because it's not in proportion, like I said, with the land use, and it's not in line with our brand of sustainability.
Yeah, there are wine events that are not necessarily even using Sonoma wines, from what I've been reading. But let me get a response from you on this, Corey.
Don't believe everything you read.
I think that, given the landscape for the wineries, yes, we are, within use permits, able to purchase grapes from outside of our county, one of them being Lake County. And you know what? I'm proud to say that we helped a lot of people during that fire last year and supporting them in their agriculture. So yes, we do buy from out of county. Labeling something on the label that says Sonoma County has to contain at least 75% of the grapes as to be from Sonoma County. That's the TTB law. So
isn't
that's
there
our
more movement toward the coast, though, in search of better temperatures? And as a result, I simply mention that because it does get into questions about preservation of the coast.
Yeah, so coastal, my feeling is, being a wine person and a grape grower, Sonoma County and Sonoma Coast specifically is the best region in all of the U.S., if not the world, to grow Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. So that is what's helped put us on the map. It is why we have the tourists coming. So yes, looking at areas that we can develop in ag-zoned areas to develop high-quality wines or grapes to make these wines will continue the public coming back. But again, as we've all talked about here earlier, done correctly, and that's what we're all trying to do.
But Judith Olney, what do you say to those micro wineries like we just heard essentially express from Vicky Farrow, that are feeling, They have to have these events. They have no choice, really.
You know, the truth is that our ag valleys are dying a death of a thousand cuts from a trend towards micro wineries and resorts that are masquerading as, or micro event centers that are masquerading as wineries. When we look at the number of wineries in Sonoma County, and there's been a 400% increase in the last 14 years. We're talking about over 450 facilities. 50% of these are under 10,000 cases. But those wineries under 10,000 cases are only producing 2% of the wine. So we're asking ourselves, does the direct-to-consumer marketing model incent people to focus far more on parties for profit, looking at income streams from selling food and from selling tickets to entertainment versus focusing on the quality of grape production and the quality of our ag products?
Let me ask the supervisor if he can help us navigate through this. There is a real discordant sense of what is in the interest of micro winery owners, for example, and what's disturbing what's been characterized as a over-event kind of activity.
Well, I think you look at it in a variety of ways, right? So number one is one of the things we talk about is future winery development. The other thing we talk about is current wineries that exist and how they manage their events and is it appropriate, right? So, you know, we've woven in all these other issues like groundwater sustainability, how much 6% of acreage in Sonoma County being in vineyards, most of it being really in alluvial plains where we have good replenishment off of the Russian River. You know, so what does this come down to? Like, to bring it all together and to distill it. I think Judith already said the community is the canary in the coal mine. So these are the problems that have come from success, right? The wine industry and the vineyard industry and the hospitality industry, and if we talk about 60% of the county gross product being somehow directly or indirectly related to the wine industry, has been an amazing success story for Sonoma County. But if you don't address the accountability and the needs for responsibility, even for problems that come from success, then you're just, it's asinine. And so for me, my goal is that with us as supervisors, is that, good Lord, our process right now pits everybody against everybody. Well, and if we don't fix that, that's my fault.
I like the fact that you use the word distilling as far as your ideas are concerned. Let me go to the audience. And, in fact, if you have something that you'd like to add to this conversation or questions, comments, we're going to go first to Wendy. Wendy, please join us.
Yes, thank you. I'm Vice President of Community Alliance with Family Farmers, North Coast Chapter. And our concern is really about the integrity of our general plan and ag zoning. It's not just our rural character that we need to preserve, but actually agriculture. And many of the event centers and large wineries are actually paving over some of this beautiful, farmland. I think there's estimation about 2,000 acres have gotten paved over recently. Once we lose that land, it's gone. And we really do want to keep agriculture in Sonoma County for future generations. One other point I want to make is that there are other ways for growers to distinguish themselves in the marketplace other than having event centers. For example, there's wineries that are diversified, grape growers who are diversifying, like Porter Creek, Preston, Devero. You know, Porter Creek just has a rustic little tasting room and no events. They're doing just fine. They can sell all the wine they produce. They grow biodynamically, and there's people who are searching out growers who are using other practices or, again, who are growing other crops like they do at Preston and Devero. And we'd really like to encourage more diversity and, again, more other ways for producers to distinguish themselves in the marketplace.
Wendy, thank you. Appreciate hearing from you. And I'm going to go right to another member of our audience here, our live audience. Eric, let's go to you next.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for coming out here to the Boondocks. Your very first question of the hour was, what is an event? And we still haven't heard an answer to that. A lot of us believe that while growing grapes is agriculture and making wine is arguably agriculture, selling wine and distributing it a little less so, but having weddings and corporate parties and concerts is not agriculture. And so until those things get defined specifically in the law, we're going to have this problem, and this fight is going to go on.
Go to you.
Yeah, I thought I addressed that earlier. I'll say this again about winery activities. The things that I talked about earlier about direct sales, release parties, tasting rooms, and then also trade and marketing events with wholesalers, those fall under us of just doing business and being able to keep the doors open. The events that you're referring to would be trade association events. at our winery at Coppola, we are actually permitted to do weddings. And in fact, the previous owner that we bought it from, they were doing 68 weddings a year. When we bought it, the neighbors came to us and said, there's one thing we ask is that please don't do weddings. And you know what? We haven't done a wedding in 10 years, and we're not going to do weddings. So I think that there's also the part of being responsible to your neighbors. To answer your question, sir, about defining the events, we completely agree that we did that at our use permit. We defined exactly what an event is, how many people can be held. So that is something that we live by.
Supervisor Gore, can you give us a sense of what you think really amounts to that first question I asked, which has been reiterated? I mean, how you define an event, would you agree with Corey Beck, or do you see it in a different fashion?
I agree with everybody.
That's why you're a politician.
And I disagree with everybody. Because, you know, the reality is you're sitting here and you say, okay, there's Grange Halls, for example, throughout Sonoma County that host events and other things and are just amazing resources. And then you have on a lot of wineries what are events, which are winemaker dinners, very related to the product. So those are ag marketing events. And there's not a lot of people who are going against those, even on the neighborhood side. What we find is it's these things where they say, is there any real nexus to the actual product? You know, the general plan of Sonoma County is that your right is that you can build a winery so that you can process your product into a higher value added so you don't have to ship it off, and then you can sell it, right? But if you get to the point where you're throwing discotecas in the middle of the vineyard, that's commercial use, and that's not what I want either as a county supervisor and the land use kind of judge of the county.
I'm just interested in finding out, let me throw the question to the audience. There are many of you here representing different points of view, to be sure, but how many of you feel that despite the fact that it's the backbone, it's the very essence of Sonoma County, and over 80%, close to 90% are in favor of the wine industry and feel the importance of it, how many feel that you have too many tourists here? Just maybe, yeah. Okay, just curious to get that. Thank you for that, Vox Populi. Let me go to another question.
Vox Populi?
Yeah, the voice of the people. Let me go to you with another. Oh, I'm sorry, Judith, only you want to say something.
You know, I want to follow up on what Supervisor Gore said. The wine industry is only the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we're dealing with in terms of alcohol tourism. What's coming next are distilleries and brew pubs. Distilleries and brew pubs have no nexus with agriculture in Sonoma County. We do not grow hops. We are importing a lot of the fruit from Washington State. So we need to really be planful and manage the development of these types of facilities. They need to be along the 101 corridor and in our town centers.
Well, I asked about tourists because the more tourists you have, probably the more problem, at least arguably, and I think it's probably factual, you have with people driving under the influence and that sort of thing. But I have an important question for you, Supervisor Gore, from a listener named Raphael, who says, can we talk to what these expansions mean for people working in the fields? Are we protecting them, and how are we protecting them?
Perfect question. First of all, we got to understand that because of if you go talk to the farming community right now, this has been the worst year for labor that they've had in the last 30 years. And a lot of that started when there was a lot of violence on the Mexico border. We started to ramp up, security and other things. If you look around right now, it's changing because there's a lot of farm workers who they're in such high demand that they're leaving jobs to go to other jobs, other vineyards for 50 cents or a dollar more an hour.
Well, it's driving the wages up, the limited number of workers.
Which is a great thing. But yeah. So you look at, I know one vineyard manager who gives Cadillac plans, healthcare plans to all of his employees. It's the right thing to do. I know somebody else who works with labor contractors and hires a big group that comes out, and so he doesn't have any of the farm workers under his area. This is a big area, Michael, that can't be one-dimensional because it's operating in the shadows. Sure, there's illegal immigration. Sure, there's people who are documented. It's kind of all over the place.
It also goes without saying, again, that the smaller wineries, as we heard from Vicky Farrow, are really suffering on the score. And competition, I think, I don't want to speak for you, Vicky, here, but you have all these craft beers now and new products of spirits and all of that sort of thing. I mean, they're hurting the wine industry in general. They're really competitive, especially for millennials. Just want to get that on the record here. Let me also bring somebody else in the audience here. Do we have Tina? Who are we going to in the audience? Ellen. Yeah, thank you. Ellen, join us.
Can I sit down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You're settled there, Ellen? You're okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I live in Glen Ellen. I've been there 45 years. I've been 38 years in my present home. And on my street, we now have 14 vacation rentals. And I don't see that you've adequately addressed the issues that are affecting residents of Sonoma County. I've had my gate smashed in the last few months. Cost me almost $1,000 to fix. We have people driving around that are drinking too much. I don't see anybody doing sobriety tests before they leave the wineries or the microbreweries and get on the road. Mm-hmm. I spent 14 months with the Planning Commission, going to all their meetings, spending hours at each meeting, and then went to the supervisors' meeting where the Planning Commission presented their proposals, and Supervisor Gore voted it down, along with three of the other supervisors.
But their proposals came from a group?
The Planning Commission.
The Planning Commission itself, okay.
The Planning Commission, yes, that the public worked with to try to come up with some proposals that would help protect our communities, such as imposing restricted zones where we are already overwhelmed with wineries, tasting rooms, and vacation rentals, such as Glen Ellen, Kenwood, and Boyce Hot Springs. We have no low-income housing anymore in our region. I can't get my yard worker to come because he's in such demand from all the wineries and in particular the new wine growers.
Let me jump in here because I think we get the picture of what you're trying to convey. And Supervisor Gore, you voted it down. You want to speak about that?
Well,
their proposals?
I appreciate the false assertion because I do want to be real with you, ma'am. I did vote for a vacation rental ordinance that included 13 out of 15 elements that were supported to me. Furthermore, I also supported something called exclusion zones, which is your area and other areas by Supervisor Gorin that they proposed in an appropriate way. When there was a provision that came in from the planning commissioners that said, don't allow any new vacation rental in any R1 zone, I have four of those in my district. The other district, District 5, didn't want them at all. I voted for a vacation rental ordinance that's smart, that has a huge amount of action, and quite honestly, I have two exclusion zones, three that are coming to me and my board, and you have five in the area of Glen Ellen that are coming to us as well. So I appreciate the anecdote, but that's just not real. The second part of it is that if we look at what we need to do, you are completely right. I've been a supervisor for a year and a half. And I'm the first, I guess, class of supervisors who have come into a post-recession world, right? And so we're being encountered with, like, things are on fire, vacation rental scares the heck out of me. And you're right. There's huge issues in our community with bad actors around vacation rentals and wineries. So
are you addressing them? I mean, she began by saying not addressing them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's exclusion zones going on in those areas right now. All those areas are being provided by Supervisor Gorin. Furthermore, I seconded Supervisor Gorin's motion to put a moratorium in Sonoma Valley. So your assertion that I was wrong is completely inaccurate.
Let me bring our callers in here, and let me begin, Angie, with you. Angie's calling us from Sonoma. Angie, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to talk as well about affordable housing, and I also wanted to put a cautionary tale out there. Having come to Sonoma County from Honolulu, I can't remember the last time anybody went to Waikiki to enjoy the scenic experience. And I wonder how the tourism economy and pandering to tourism is going to affect the future livability of Sonoma County. I'm a regular workaday person, and rent is so high here, as well as homelessness. What does the wine industry see as their responsibility in managing this before it gets out of hand, like in places such as Honolulu?
Yeah, Corey Beck.
So that's a very good question. The wine industry, we have represent 54,000 jobs in our county. It's one out of every four workers. We also have areas with farm worker housing. I know that the we at the winery in Napa have that as well. So I think that there are things that are being done to address some of your concerns. And it's interesting because I was just in Waikiki 2 months ago. And still found it as beautiful as ever. But looking at what we can do to preserve our land and what we have here, and it's just what I talked about earlier. We now, as an industry, have an agricultural crop, grapes, that are doing extremely well. So to be able to have a balance, to keep their ag as ag land, and then have wineries be able to, again, having a balance of what we need to do, those are the things that are going to make sense for our community.
Let me read an email from a listener, and then we'll go to more of the members of our audience. Terry writes, the main issue is the commercialization of agriculture land for visitor-serving facilities. The more large event centers that get built on vineyards, the more ag land we lose. The County of Sonoma needs to update its general plan policies and regulations to make a clear distinction between agriculture lands for growing grapes and food and commercial operations on ag land that host music concerts and other large events. This really wasn't a problem until the last 10 years or so, when corporations took over most of the independent wineries and when hobby farmers decided to open wineries and couldn't make any money on their wines. Let me go to the audience. We have Alexis in the audience who wants to join us. Alexis, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm a faculty member here at Sonoma State, and I'm an archaeologist, so I tend to think in the long term. And so it seems to me like a lot of this conversation is rather short-sighted. My understanding is that a lot of prime grape-growing regions are moving further and further north. So to what extent is it being considered that in, you know, 50, 100 years, this may no longer be a great region to grow grapes? And is the change, are the changes that are being made to the land sustainable? And will they be able to, will the land be able to recover in, again, 50 to 100 years, even the next few generations beyond that?
You want to respond? Who would like to respond? It's a big question and an important one, yeah.
No, that's what we're really seeing.
This is Judith Olney.
What we're seeing in Sonoma County, we've got two new appellations, one in Annapolis, one in Seaview. These are rural coastal hills. These are our forested hills. And so the vintners and the wine growers, they're looking to these lands that have a milder climate to grow their grapes. This is why we talk about the concern about more and more vineyards being built on steep hillsides, the erosion that they're causing to our salmon spawning creeks, and the fact that we are looking at a future where we really don't know which of these areas are going to be prime growing areas for grapes. And so that's why we're saying it's time for us to pause and to really look at defining some good economic and land use principles that make sure that we're not paving over paradise, putting up a parking lot, and becoming basically unsustainable.
And we're going to go back to our audience. Lisa in the audience, join us.
Hi. The wine agriculture in this county is one part of a very biodiverse living system. Mm-hmm. And I wonder about the effect of this expansion on the plant and animal communities. Examples are the loss of habitat, the way that roads and fencing impact wildlife migration, increased water use, and whether that's being considered by the wine industry and also at the county planning level.
Could I also add to that a larger carbon imprint? Because I think that's something that really has to be seen as integral in the picture. How much are you considering those things that Lisa's just brought up here, Corey Beck?
James, I'd have you start with that.
Well, it's a good question because it links with what Judith is talking about, which isn't just wineries, but it's where our vineyard's going. Where is our current delineation in our land use, our general plan, allow for vineyards to go in? I can tell you, for one, is, you know, as a passionate defender of the coast and a lover of redwoods, I don't want to see stuff get clear cut out there on mountaintops and on other things like that, and vineyards get put in everywhere. That's not appropriate. So the general plan is going to come up again in 2020, and this needs to be something that's on the table, as long as a variety of other issues, tribal land use, climate change mitigation, other things like that. When you talk about what we currently have, 6% of Sonoma County having grapes on it, the vast majority of that is within the 101 corridor. It's in areas, and if you think about sustainability, you're talking about groundwater recharge, Russian River watershed, and we do have plans on our Sustainable Groundwater Management Act and everything to address that. So I really want to bring us back to a point, I think, of commonality, which is everybody here and a lot of people in the audience, is it's this idea of, okay, here we are. We had this last decade of just a flare. And now what do we do going forward? Do we protect it or do we just let it roll?
It's a very important question to conclude this hour on, or a series of questions, and certainly thank you all for your questions from the audience and questions from listeners who are listening to us, well, throughout the state of California and beyond. And I want to thank our guests. Thanks, Supervisor Gore. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And James Gore, again, represents Sonoma County's 4th District. Corey Beck, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Corey Beck, again, is president of Francis Ford Coppola Winery. And thank you, Judith Olney, co-chair of Preserve Rural Sonoma. Thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday. We're going to have another hour here at Sonoma State. Stay in your chairs. And it's so delightful to have you all with us. We'd like to thank the Press Democrat and reporter Bill Swindell. Special thanks to Nicholas Grizzle and everyone at Sonoma State University. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Lauberg, and Susan Britton. Engineers are Danny Bringer and Jim Bennett. Engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from Amanda Font. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Joanne Wallace. For our interns are Ida Mojadad and Eli Wolf. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.